me into my home. And thank you for welcoming us into your home as we gather together around the word of our God this weekend. Normally we would have announcements at this time about where the different kids' classes are going and who the teachers are going to be and that sort of thing. But unfortunately, that's one of the things that we're unable to do this weekend, is to have those dedicated classes. We know that the children love it so much, and so many of those who volunteer to teach the classes love it so much, but this is what we have to work with in the situation we find ourselves in. What we did do, which most of the families that registered were able to receive, is we did make up some activities and workbooks for the different age groups. If you did not receive those booklets, we can send those to you digitally if you want to print them out for your own children, or perhaps you didn't register in time and you would still like to participate in that. We obviously can't get you the little Ziploc bags full of crafty activities, but we could get you the booklets if your children at home would like to follow along and participate in that. So just let us know, send me personally an email to jed.dillingham@gmail.com, and we can organize getting those to you as soon as possible if you want those. We also would often be talking about Lost and Found already this weekend, but of course, having had nobody at our hall, nobody's left anything behind, so we don't have to try to find owners for jackets and mitts and boots and things like that, which means I may actually have to buy my children some new clothes this winter instead of just using all the ones that get left behind at the hall, which we've always been very thankful for. And just one last reminder about the activities for this evening. There is a family night planned this evening, which you would have received information about in the emails that went out as a result of your registration. So different things that we're asking the families to take pictures of and to send those in to Brother Jacob and Sister Rachel Osborne, so that the slideshow and the activities can be planned for the family night. So please do your best effort to get those completed. So we're going to begin by singing together from hymn number 101. And then we'll have an opening prayer. So reading from hymn number 101 and the first verse. Lord, thou hast searched and seen us through. Thine eye commands with piercing view our rising and our resting hours, our hearts and minds, with all their powers. Hymn number 101. Well, brothers and sisters, we're very thankful to have our brother Jay Mayock with us this weekend to have him with us this weekend to present a series of classes entitled Timothy, Man of God. And his first class is entitled Inspiration, the First Missionary Journey. And to introduce that class, he's asked that we take a reading from Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 28. Thank you, Brother Tim, for that introductory reading. We'll now call upon our Brother Jay Mayock to lead us in his first class entitled Inspiration, First Missionary Journey. Brother Jay, please.
Thank you very much, Brother Jed, and hello everyone, brothers and sisters and young people. What a pleasure it is to be here with you in this particular way to spend some time around God's Word. And I must say, thanks to all of you who made us feel so welcome, because we've received from you all the way out from British Columbia, from our brothers and sisters in the Okanagan, food to eat today. So all those care packages that were sent out, somehow through the McFarland family, they made it out here to the Mayock household in Southern Ontario, and as well as a workbook for our daughter, Mariah. So thank you so much for sending that out and including us in the end of your studies in this particular way. It's really nice to be with everybody. Well, I hope not just it's our brothers and sisters who are listening, although I hope our brothers and sisters are. I hope our young people are listening to this weekend. You've got some work to do in the workbooks that you've received. And we're going to be in the adult class and also in your workbook, be having a look at the journeys of Timothy. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that when I first had heard about Timothy. He was that kind of sidekick of Paul, who was often emotional and had stomach problems and really seemed to struggle with things all the time, and who tended to be a bit afraid. I must say that I didn't have the kind of, I didn't look up to Timothy as much as I did somebody like the Apostle Paul. But since doing this study, all that has completely changed. And I hope to take you all on this journey, if you'll come along with me, to get to know our brother Timothy a little bit better and to find out a little bit more about who he is. So before we talk about who Timothy is, I just thought I'd give you a couple of updated pictures of Naox. So this is Mariah, who spends most of her time out of the trees. But in this particular picture, she happens to be in one. She's 8 years old. This is Bethel. She is 3. And these are the 4 Naox over here, all snuggled together on the couch. So we send our loving greetings to you, and I'm sure we'll be able to share some time together in the way that we have it now, blessed with this ability to share as we are now. Well, let's get into our studies now. One of the wonderful things about this particular study, I hope, is how visual it can be when we start to move through the book of Acts. And I recommend to everybody, if you haven't done it yet, is to make sure that you mark up in your Bibles the 3 missionary journeys of Paul and also his journey to Rome. We're only going to be connecting with the missionary journeys of Paul as much as they connect with Timothy. But we're going to see that there are a lot of connections. And I really encourage everyone, it doesn't take long at all, really, to highlight the different places. And it wasn't until I did this about 5 or 6 years ago that the book of Acts began to open up for me. When we understand the different provinces that are involved, and we only have 4 that we're going to focus on here. And that's a piece of cake, because most of us are in Canada right now, right? We've got 10 provinces and 3 territories. So 4 provinces we can handle. And we're going to go through that in just a moment. So over here in the east, we have the province of Galatia. And you'll look there, you can see that there are 3 ecclesias. I have listed there the ecclesias of the different provinces. We have Iconium and Lystra and Antioch. And in the order of visiting in the first missionary journey, it was Antioch, Iconium, and then Lystra. And Lystra, as we know, is the home of Timothy and his family. And moving from east to west, we have the province of Asia. And we think about the 7 ecclesias in the book of Revelation. They were all situate in Asia. And Ephesus was the main hub of preaching during the 3rd missionary journey, which we'll have to do in 2 of our classes later on this weekend. As we move across the water there, we come to the province of Macedonia. And in Macedonia, you would find the ecclesia at Philippi, at Thessalonica, and Berea. And finally, if you move south into the peninsula there, you'll come to the province of Achaia, where you'd find Corinth and Cenchrea, and also Athens. Now, I can't tell you how helpful that was for me, just to learn that little bit and to have that marked in the Bibles, because when it says that the Apostle Paul, for example, moves into Macedonia, we think, okay, that really didn't mean anything to me, until we think about Philippi and we think about Thessalonica and Berea. And each of those ecclesias would have had their own brothers and sisters, their own experiences, their own struggles and their own triumphs. When we think of Philippi, we think of Lydia. When we think of Thessalonica, we think of Aristarchus, perhaps. And when we think of Berea, we might think of the faithful brothers and sisters there and how they searched out the scriptures. And that was all in Macedonia. So it's helpful for us to keep that in mind as we move through. So I really highly recommend that to everyone. If you haven't yet marked those in your Bibles, we're going to get a good start on the first missionary journey today. So as we said, our classes are going to look like this. We're going to go through the missionary journeys of Paul as they relate to Timothy and see that we can learn some lessons after following Timothy along and joining him in his journeys. So we have the first missionary journey, the second missionary journey, the third missionary journey, and then Timothy's later journeys, which will be the part of our last class. But for our first class, we're just going to be focusing on the first missionary journey. Now, for the young people who are doing your workbooks, this is going to be too much information. But if you have a look, this really will answer pretty much all of the questions that you have on that map, if you'd like to take a note of this. And you're going to see this at the beginning of every class. But I just want to explain this to everyone real quick. All these numbers are the different places that Timothy visited. And we'll go through these as we go through our study. And you'll notice that there are different colors here. So for example, you have the number 1 down there, and up on the east there in Galatia, right next to Lystra, you'll find the number 1. And the reason the number 1 is there is because during the first missionary journey, that's where it all began for Timothy. That's why it's highlighted in the pink. That's the first missionary journey that we're dealing with in the class today. That's as far as we'll get in this particular class. And then the orange, that's numbers 1 again, all the way through number 9. Those are the places that Timothy visited during the second missionary journey, when he begins the work of proclamation. Numbers 10 through 16 are the third missionary journey. And numbers 17 to 22 are Timothy's later journeys. Now, don't concern yourselves with copying all of this down. You'll see it during each of the classes, and you will also have these available to you if you'd like them after the end of the weekend. And this is just showing where the numbers 17 through 22 are, because they pan out a little bit further into the Roman world, out toward Rome, where we believe that Timothy made a couple of visits to Paul himself and ministered to him. But for our first class now, we're going to concentrate on Lystra. And we're going to ask this question: who has inspired us in the truth? We all have a story about someone who has made a big impression in our lives on a certain aspect of our characters or in the development of our faith. And we're going to find out who that was for Timothy. And we're also going to find that Timothy became an inspiring example to those around him. He was inspired, and he in turn inspired those around us. And one of the things that I'm so encouraged about in having looked at this study is that Timothy was such an encourager. He was such an inspiration to so many brothers and sisters throughout the ecclesial world at that particular time. And I think we'll come to admire him as we get to know him a little bit better and to see where his inspiration came from. So with that being said, let's move along. In Acts chapter 13, this is where it all began. It all began in verses 2 and 3 at the ecclesia of Antioch. And it says that there was this group of people there, and it was here in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. And the reason they were given the label Christian from those outside was because you couldn't really call them Jews, because there were Gentiles fellowshipping with them. So when an outsider would look, they're not really Jews. What's the one thing that bound them together? It was this belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were first called, the Bible says, Christians, the disciples were, in Antioch. And so we read about all the different brothers who were there in Acts chapter 13. And in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so this is the beginning of the first missionary journey. That's how it began. This was not Paul simply going out and saying, I'm out of here, who's coming with me? That's not how it works in ecclesial life. But there was an identification, a membership with an ecclesia, and they were chosen by the Holy Spirit and confirmed by the leaders of the ecclesia there that they would be doing this work. And it's actually to that ecclesia that they would return at the end of Acts chapter 14, as our brother Tim read. So this is where it all begins. So remember, we said we're concentrating on Lystra, but in order to get to Lystra, we've got to get to Lystra. So this is how Paul and Barnabas got to Lystra from Antioch. They went to Seleucia, and from there they went to Salamis. And this is on Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And you'll remember that Barnabas, with whom Paul was at the time, that was where Barnabas had some land. Remember, it was when Barnabas came and laid the proceeds of that land that he owned, and he brought it to the apostles in, I believe that was Acts chapter 6. And then from Salamis, they went to Paphos on the other side of the island, and from there into the Mediterranean to Perga. And from Perga, they would continue to travel, and it's just one place after another. You'll notice that in Acts chapter 13 and the passages that we had a look at. Just one place to another. They do spend some time in Paphos, and that's actually when Paul begins to be called Paul. And they arrive finally now in Asia Minor in the province of Galatia, in the region of Pisidia. So that's verse 14 of Acts chapter 13. And I'll just read Acts 13, verse 14. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So that's what they did. That's how they did it. They went to the Jews first. And where would you find the Jews? But at their synagogue. And they do that in Antioch, and they also do that in Iconium as well, when we come down to the end of the chapter. And it says in verse 49 of Acts chapter 13 that the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So this whole region over here of Antioch, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. Of which city? This is Antioch. And raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples, meaning those who were converted throughout this region of Antioch, were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And they spake, and they bring a great multitude toward them. So in Antioch, they go to the synagogue. To Iconium, they go to the synagogue. And they're driven there because of the preaching that they had given in that place and the persecution that followed. Now, you might be wondering, what's with all this circuitous traveling up there at the top? You'll see that's not really a straight line to Antioch to Iconium, is it? And the reason for that is... there's a map program I use, and I can talk to you personally about this one. I love it. It's called Accordance Bible Software, and it shows you where the Roman roads were of those days. So when you see some of these strange routes up on the map, it's because it deals with the Roman roads, and oftentimes those Roman roads were accommodating the geography of the Roman world at that particular time. So they come to Iconium. And it says in Acts chapter 14 now, in verse 4, that the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. This now is Iconium. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and under the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. So here it is. This is the first missionary journey. and they've come to Iconium. And now, fleeing persecution from Antioch, they go to Iconium. And fleeing persecution from Iconium, they come to Lystra now. And this is the city that Timothy came from. Now, just have a look at that map and think about what we just read. What is the heritage of the truth in this part of the world at this time? These were brothers and sisters, disciples, who had received the word of God and had seen close hand, close range, what it cost. It brought Paul and Barnabas persecution. And this is not just the kind of embarrassment that we might experience sometimes in our sharing of the truth. This had to do with people who were coming out to try and stone the faith out of them. And it was brothers and sisters in this region who grabbed a hold of the gospel. And now Paul and Barnabas have come to Lystra. This is Timothy's city. This is the city of Timothy's mom, Eunice, and Timothy's grandma, Lois, who brought Timothy up in the fear of God. And so we read in verses 8 to 21, we're just going to summarize very quickly because our brother read this for us, but there was this impotent man, we read in verse 8. He could not walk. From his mother's womb, he'd never been able to walk, and he is healed by the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, and in particular at the words of Paul and the people. Now, who are these people? These are the native Lycaonians, it says. These are Timothy's neighbors, brothers and sisters. These were those who lived next door to Timothy, as it were. And these people were so superstitious that they were ready to offer sacrifice to Paul and to Barnabas as Mercury and Jupiter. Could you imagine being Timothy, young man that he was, growing up in a society like this? And we learn more about Timothy a bit later on. We learn that at this particular time, and even by the time that Paul comes to him again in the next missionary journey, he had not yet been circumcised. How could that be, brothers and sisters? After all, it says in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3, at verse 15, that from a child, Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, Paul says, unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, he knew the Scriptures. And anyone growing up at that particular time, reading the Scriptures, would know that you would have to be circumcised. And yet Timothy wasn't. What's more than that is that even though Timothy was receiving this education, and that word child there, from what I can tell, just having a look, it actually means an infant, a very young child. This is not your school age child. It's a young child. He had known the Holy Scriptures. But unlike when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had visited, first they visited Antioch, and then Iconium, the cities just before. Where did he go each of those times? Where did they both go? They went to the synagogue of the Jews. They don't do that in Lystra here. No, preaching begins in verse 8. It says, with this man who was crippled. And the Gentiles here, it seems. So there's no reference to the fact that Paul and Barnabas go to the synagogue. And perhaps it was that there wasn't a synagogue in Lystra. And if that's true, that just makes Timothy's experience growing up perhaps that much more difficult. Small group of believers, Jewish believers, he was uncircumcised. Maybe he felt like he didn't fit in. How could he felt like he fit in the middle of the superstitious Lycaonians and perhaps not feeling like he was even at home in his own family. But in his family, as the Apostle Paul reminds him, there was a real faith, a genuine, unfeigned faith that Paul was persuaded was in Timothy, even later on in his life, which dwelt first in his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, and Paul was persuaded that in Timothy also. And so these would have been the women who instructed Timothy before those moments. And, you know, it's interesting. Anybody who's been around young children, especially those who have had young children, know how much young children listen, right? Even way before they can read. Like our little Bethel, she's three now. And there have been a number of times, especially over the last little while, where Sister Rebecca and I look at each other and one of us will say to the other, wow, she is really listening. Because something will come out in a conversation that she might have heard once before, but she's heard it and she listens to it. And it may seem that our children may not be taking much in yet of what we're trying to share and to teach as far as scripture goes, but we just have to make sure that we keep doing it and keep putting it in and keep trying in whatever situation we're in so that we can keep fostering that love of the truth and that milk of the word within them so that they will take on these beliefs as their own when they are challenged, which they will be when they get older. But Acts chapter 16 tells us, we'll spend some more time on this a bit later, that his father was a Greek. Now, I would suggest to you something. I'm going to ask you to just receive it now, and then I'll prove it to you tomorrow, God willing. But we have no reason to believe that Timothy's father was any spiritual encouragement to him. We have no reason to believe he was any spiritual inspiration to him. That came from his mom and his grandmother, for whatever reason that was. And perhaps it was this tension in the family that explains why it was that Timothy had never been circumcised. Even though he knew, and his parents, his mom and grandmother knew that he ought to be. It must have been challenging for him. And if any of us feel that we struggle fitting in sometimes to the truth or into the brothers and sisters with whom we have to do, let us make sure that we use Timothy as an example and Timothy's mom and grandmother as an example, who were the initial inspirations for this boy for whom God had great things prepared. Who would have known but that by the time the Apostle Paul visits this place again in the second missionary journey, that he was the boy that the apostle was going to take with him and help set the world on fire with the truth and to light all the lampstands around there? Who called that one? That was God's plan for him. And our God delights in doing things like this, in turning on the heads situations that appear a certain way, and then God saying, I'm going to work in this particular situation, and through the faith of those involved, great things will happen. And it's just, it makes no sense according to the flesh. But when God is involved and faith is involved, in faith we go along for the ride with our Heavenly Father that He has put us on. So here we are, that's how things were in Lystra. And just before we move on to the next slide here, I'd like you to have a look over in Acts chapter 14 at verse 19. This is after the healing of this impotent man, and then Paul has to convince the people not to sacrifice unto him and to Barnabas. And it says in verse 19 that there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So they get their way. We read back in verse 5 how it was that the leaders of Iconium and Antioch wanted to have their way with Paul, and they wanted to stone him. And they finally make their way. Now Paul is being pursued, just as he pursued those who were faithful in the truth before. Now he's being pursued from one city to another, as he had once done to the body of Christ. And they finally get Paul. They drag him out of the city. And look at verse 20. This tells you something about the brothers and sisters at Lystra in Galatia. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, wait a second. Who in the right mind would be standing around a man that other people thought was dead? Would that put yourself in harm's way? Of course it would. They all knew the cost of the truth, that these were disciples now. They were not interested friends. They were brothers and sisters now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so evidently, Paul and Barnabas would have spent quite a bit of time here in order for this preaching to take root. And the disciples are there. They stand round about Paul, and he rose up and came into the city. Can you imagine being Lois or Eunice at this particular time, who did believe as a result of the things that took place on this missionary journey, as we'll see? They did become converted. And perhaps Timothy was as well at this particular time. Perhaps they were of the disciples who were standing around watching the Apostle Paul rise up. What an incredible story that would be. And the next day, it says, he departed with Barnabas into Derbe. And so that's what they do next. They head into Derbe from Lystra. And now, if you look at that map up there, you remember where Paul was from, right? Saul of Tarsus. And Tarsus is in the province of Cilicia, right there in the orange. So what's Paul do? I'm going to go home to rest, take a break. It's not really like the Apostle Paul to rest very much, is it? I mean, this is the Apostle Paul who, after the shipwreck, one of the shipwrecks, this one on the way to Rome, remember, been cast upon the island of Malta. And what's he doing? What's the next thing we find him doing? He's gathering sticks for the fire. Sit down for a couple seconds, Brother Paul. That's not what he did. That's not what the Apostle did. And so here, he doesn't go back home. He goes back, it says. Look at what it says in verse 21. And when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many or made disciples of them, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every ecclesia and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And they passed through Pisidia, and they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the ecclesia together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Can you imagine the meeting that must have been with the brothers and sisters? Hey, how'd your outreach work go? Could you imagine being back for that ecclesial meeting? Everybody gathers together. Wait till you hear this, Paul and Barnabas would have said. And they're all strengthened. And in that part of the world, all these lampstands had been lit by the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. And it was just getting started. The whole world was about to be changed forever because of the beginning of this work. And Timothy, we believe, had seen the very beginnings of those things. And so what does Timothy do? Well, this is what he does. This is what Timothy does, whose father, we believe, was not in the truth, who grew up in an area where there was not a synagogue and relative isolation from the rest of the community. And we read that Timothy was busy doing something. Now, although this is in Acts chapter 16, it's a reflection upon what it was that Timothy was doing before Paul had gotten to him again. Look what it says in Acts chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. So this was Eunice. We get her name in 2 Timothy. Eunice, she was one of the ones who believed. She was a Jewess, teaching her son of the Holy Scriptures from an infant, and she believed. So she had become a disciple. That's what it means. But his father was a Greek. And speaking of Timothy, it says that he was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now that expression, well reported, you'll see the Greek word there. It's actually, if you squint, you might be able to see the word martyr in there. And really it's related to the word martyr, because the word martyr essentially means a witness. And so what this word well reported means is that, according to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, whenever you look at the word in the New Testament, the thought is always that the person or people can be vouched for on the basis of direct observation. You know what that means? It means that Timothy was working with his brothers and sisters at Lystra and also at Iconium. And maybe it was that Antioch was a little bit far, but you'll remember the map. Iconium was the closer one to Lystra. So Timothy was active there at Lystra. He's active there at Iconium. He's getting busy in the truth. His mom has come into the truth. He's gotten into the truth. And he's taken hold of it, and he's busy. And other brothers and sisters there were aware of his work. Now, Timothy could have made every excuse in the world why he shouldn't be getting busy in his particular ecclesia. He had all of the reasons there. We've looked at some of his struggles, what they must have been. We've looked at the relative isolation. We look at the persecution. But Timothy is known to be getting busy right away. And maybe it was that Timothy was beginning his own missionary journeys, traveling from Lystra to Iconium, encouraged by the brothers and sisters in that particular area. But during this first missionary journey, this was the time where Timothy had become inspired. It's a wonderful thing. And just before we begin to close this class, I'd like you to have a look back at Acts chapter 14, because there's something that I read much too quickly that I need to read again. And it's at beginning at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about Paul, maybe Eunice was there, maybe Lois was there, maybe Timothy himself, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So he's gone. But then, as we said, he came back and continued along the same route, encouraging the brothers and sisters, ordaining elders with Barnabas. And in verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And don't you think it would have been amazing to hear what it was that the Apostle Paul could have said? What it was that Paul and Barnabas could have said when they came back to speak to those brothers and sisters? What do you think that Bible class was like? You know that we get the topic, we get the subject, we get his title right here in verse 22. It says that they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You think you would have listened to that Bible class? To a man who had suffered such incredible persecution already, who had been stoned and left for dead, What's your message? What's your topic going to be on? I think I'm going to talk about continuing in the faith, even in the midst of tribulation. Oh, that'd be a good one, the presiding brother would have said. That'll be a really good, you think you'd listen to the Apostle Paul there? Of course, absolutely, because he was living it. And that's how important it is for us as brothers and sisters to do all that we can to be an example to those around us, to be inspiring each other. And one of the best ways that we can inspire each other is to just keep going. Just keep going. Continue in the faith. There's nothing more inspiring, I think, as we get older in the truth too. I mean, who doesn't love a good baptism? Isn't it one of the most wonderful things to see a young person or an older person, it might be an interested friend, finally come into the truth? But and that is something that as young people we need to be making sure that we're making a priority, is keeping our feet pointed on a path that will lead to our baptisms and to continue busy in the ecclesia. But what can be so much additionally inspiring is when we see brothers and sisters who have been baptized for many years holding on and continuing in the faith in the midst of whatever tribulation that they've been through, sometimes very publicly, sometimes in quieter struggles. But that is a way that we can inspire each other. Paul did it, and he, with the help of God, kindled a fire in Timothy that would not be put out, we believe. And in that second missionary journey, which Paul's about to begin after he returns from Antioch, and he continues on that second one, working his way back up the opposite way that he came the first time, he's going to stop in Lystra. And he's going to choose a young man to go with him for the work of proclamation.